Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Got a show today with an old friend, not old in age, old in time. We've known each other. Dreama Gentry is here, and we're going to work with her. She's over at Berea College. She's the Executive Director of Partners for Education at Berea College. All right, she has brought with her somebody, and I think Dreama is going to heaven. I know her pretty well, but I am guaranteed that the other guest, Leslie, is going to heaven. She works for a group called Save the Children U.S., and she's a member of the National Education Team for U.S. Programs. We're going to talk all about building a national rural library network and the partnerships to improve third-grade reading in rural areas. I guess we're going to focus on Kentucky, where the incredible college, Berea College, is, okay, and we're both of these wonderful ladies work. So this is going to be good, all about building a national rural library network and partnerships to improve third-grade reading. I love that in the rural areas. We're very concerned about rural education. As you know, Education Talk Radio, what we're doing right now, is now part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we're located over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. And if you go over there, you can join with us. Everything we do there is free to educators, including my two guests. All right. But we have our wonderful magazine called Equity and Access, and you will enjoy reading that online journal. It really is terrific. And we got our Champions of Equity issue up there right now. We had such good response to that we're going to continue honoring people as Champions of Equity. Maybe even Dreama can get in on that. We'll see what happens as we move forward here today. All right, if she impresses me enough or not. All right, but we're really proud of what we're doing all about equity. It's everything we do free to educators at ace-ed.org. It's all about equity at the American Consortium for Equity in Education. All the icons are there for Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, but if you want to follow me in particular, it's at EduTalk Radio on Twitter. On Facebook, it's under Larry Jacobs, and also Education Talk Radio, and LinkedIn is under Larry Jacobs. Okay? And by the way, that's me. All right, without further ado, let me bring on my two guests, probably both going to heaven. Let's start with my old friend Dreama. Hello, did you sprout wings yet?
Not yet, Larry. Good morning, and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Dreama. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to start off talking about this new initiative with you.
It's great. And by the way, tell your hubby Hassan I said hi.
I sure will.
Will you do that, please? Give him a hug for me,
I will. Yep.
Good enough. I appreciate that. Leslie, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Have you sprouted wings yet? You're going to heaven.
Not yet. Sitting at my desk. Yep, not yet.
All right,
glad to be
it'll
on
happen.
This morning. Thanks for having me.
I have a direct line. I'm telling you, you guys are really something, okay? I want to swing back to Dreama. Dreama's been on before, but not everybody listens to every show. Dreama, tell us about Berea College, where you work, and then tell us in particular about your Partners for Education at Berea College. I just want to start there. Then we're going to have Leslie do the same thing about Save the Children, then we'll put the two things together.
Yeah, so I work here at Berea College, and I'm a proud Berea College graduate. And Berea is unique in that we only serve low-income students that are high-achieving, and we charge no tuition, and all of our students work here on campus. So normally, in normal times, we would have 1,600 students here working and doing service on campus while working toward their degree. And Berea is also unique in that we have a commitment to serve the Appalachian region. And so Partners for Education, I think it was around 20 years ago I started Partners for Education here, and it is it's grown. You know, now we're doing a lot of work throughout Appalachian Kentucky, and with this initiative we're doing work nationally to ensure that all rural kids have the opportunity to do well in high school, graduate, and go on to get a post-secondary degree.
Hear, hear. It's all about equity, isn't it?
It is. It is. And thinking about rural students and ensuring that where you live doesn't impact the opportunities that you have.
Hear, hear. I want you to go over, and I'm serious, you too, Les, go over to ace-ed.org and make sure you join with us. with all this on our Consortium for Equity. This is such important stuff. We want you, in particular, you guys' voices over there and writing for our magazine, as Dreama has done, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Sounds good?
We sure will. Yep, sounds
good.
Great.
Enough. That's a promise. I'm holding you to it. Leslie, tell us about Save the Children U.S., okay? And actually, and let me get this straight. You're on the national education team for U.S. programming, and you're a nonprofit partner supporting Berea College's effort. Is Save the Children, just to make it as simple as possible, the same thing I'm thinking of Sally Struthers with those commercials on TV? Am I right?
Yeah. So Save the Children has worked a long time here in the U.S., national leader in early childhood education, helping children ensure that they have the bright futures that they deserve. So I'm super excited to be joining you all today, Senior Director over our community impact work. And, you know, Save the Children focuses on all sorts of different initiatives and strategies to really achieve results for all children across rural communities. We started our work in rural Kentucky back in 1932, in the days of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We really
wow.
haven't wavered since,
wow.
right? Yeah, it's
wow.
pretty amazing to think back. We've been supporting the most marginalized children and their families across rural places for quite some time now. We've, over time, vastly expanded our presence, our footprint, and today we're working in over 200 rural communities across the U.S., providing high-quality early education programs as well
that.
As critical wraparound supports and services. Yeah, so we're excited. We partner with Partners for Education quite a bit, and this is a really exciting initiative that we are thrilled to be a part of. So we're on the ground in rural places. Just this past year, we had to augment our programs due to COVID.
Yeah.
But we were proudly supporting over 750,000 children across rural America. So this is one more great initiative that we're excited to be a part of.
Bless your heart. I got to tell you, it's just, it's really something. You get up in the morning and you do good things. And I'll tell you, it's really something. A lot of us don't do that. And I'm very envious and proud to have you on the show. I got to tell you, it's really a good thing. So how, Leslie, did you find Dreama and Berea? How'd that connection happen? I'll ask Leslie on that one.
Gosh, Dreama, you probably could speak more to it, but we've been working together for many, many years now. We had an office located in Berea, Kentucky, and in the early days of our work there, did a lot together in the early education space. I can't even probably begin to name all the different ways that what we partnered together. But yeah, we have longstanding partnership together. And this is, again, just one more initiative that we're excited to take on together.
So it's been a long time doing. Then let me ask it a different way then, okay? You have the idea to build a national rural library network, which I am a big fan of libraries, and I know how they are important they are for literacy and for opening the world to kids. And I know we have the internet and all that, but broadband can also be a problem. We need libraries and we need good librarians. All right. How did that project start? All right. And I'll ask Leslie, but you might want to swing it to Dreama. So I'll just do it that way. Les, would you want to start that or do you want Dreama to do it?
Sure, I can start and Dreama can jump in. So Dreama actually approached us to collaborate on this various this particular initiative. And for us, thinking about supporting rural libraries just makes total sense. It's a natural fit for us. I echo your sentiments about the importance of libraries. We care about kids. We want to ensure that all children, especially those in rural places, are reaching their full potential. And the library network is a great way to support these champions, these local leaders, to create that safety net around kids, ensuring that children in rural places aren't forgotten, that they have access to high-quality programs to really bolster their success. So we see libraries really as the key, as key anchors and entities within partner communities. We understand firsthand the importance of early childhood development and literacy in children's overall success, as do libraries, as does Partners for Education. So it's this great kind of union across all these entities to really position and support libraries to take on this place-based work. They're natural hubs in communities. They can be that connector to other resources and to support students from cradle to career. So Dreama approached us with this idea is they had received some funding from the Institute of Museum of Library Services and decided that, you know, they had quite a bit of expertise within Partners for Education. Save the Children has longstanding relationships and partnerships in rural places with libraries and other local entities. So it's really just a natural fit.
That is terrific. And where are you now? In other words, I'll just stream of percentage-wise, I don't know if you can answer this, and again, rural communities, however you want to define that, how many of them, percentage-wise, have working libraries, and where are you now from where you started on building this system? And again, we're focusing on Kentucky, but we can extrapolate this out, but we're talking about, we're trying to create an example from Kentucky of rural education needs, services, and successes. Okay, we're going to use Kentucky here as the example. Jarema, where are you now from where you started, and what prompted the idea? You know what I'm asking.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Larry. This is a little bit different than the other work we're doing, and that we're actually starting out nationally with this and not in Kentucky, which is really different for Partners for Education because most of our work has started in Appalachian Kentucky. What we saw in Appalachian Kentucky was the power that libraries could have in a community and in a place. And when we talked with Save the Children, when we talked to folks across the country from rural places, and we said, what is the entity in your community that's really committed to cradle-to-career education and to improving and supporting kids from birth to career, libraries always came up. And so about two and a half years ago, we applied for a planning grant from IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Services, to work with rural librarians. And we pulled together a group of rural librarians from Puerto Rico, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Kentucky, and maybe one other state that were part of a Promise Zone initiative. And those rural librarians planned with us and thought with us on what supports do libraries need to be the hub of this collective movement in their community. And from that, we came up with really three things, right? The first is that librarians need an opportunity for really intensive, high-quality professional development. And one of the things that that's being funded through the new grant we got from IMLS is a fellowship for 22 librarians from across the country that work in rural places. It'll be a year and a half to two-year fellowship. It includes project dollars, thanks to the partnership from Save the Children, because they're funding the project dollars. It also includes a stipend for participation, and it's really an intensive opportunity for 22 librarians to think about their own place and how to move third grade reading. And we're starting with third grade reading because we know that that's the first key cornerstone. We hope that 2.5-3 years from now we can do another fellowship that may focus on college access or career preparation, right? We're wanting to keep this and keep it cradle to career, but we're focusing on early childhood. So the fellowship was the first piece.
That's good.
And then the second piece of it that we heard from librarians is that need to connect with other librarians that are working on similar issues around educational support of kids, cradle to career, in rural places. And that's where the idea of the network came out. And we had done a network of rural college access and success providers. We're about 4 years into that project. It's very successful. There's an annual summit, you know, and so we're like, okay, let's take the learnings from that and let's do this with libraries. And actually, Leslie and the team at Save the Children are providing the seed funding for us to start this national network. So we'll be able to bring on a full-time person to really cultivate and work with this network.
The third piece of it.
Yeah, so it's exciting. The third piece of it is a annual summit that really focuses on one outcome each year that really goes intensive and provides opportunities for a larger group of librarians or those that work in libraries to come together. And we had our first summit last month. It was virtual. We had participants from – yeah, everything's virtual.
Yeah.
We had participants from about 48 states attend. So there's a lot of interest in this, right? And the other thing is we're committed to make sure that all of these programs and all of these services are free to the participants, because we know that rural libraries are one of the most under-resourced entities that exist.
Absolutely.
They're overworked
and
under-resourced, which is one of the reasons that we're wanting to do this network. And
well,
so it is
you,
national.
I got to tell you, I got to brag a little bit. Our little town of Cornish, Maine, about 5 years ago now, we were the only—I think we're the only town in Maine that actually built a big addition to its town library. Our little town of 1,200 people. Okay.
And that tells you a lot about a community's priorities, right?
Yeah.
Putting the money and the resources, because we know, yeah, that libraries are the gathering place for all ages of people in a community.
Of everybody.
And yeah, and they can really be a hub and be the place for those kids who are sort of drifting and don't have that connection. And so that's what we're wanting to do is to provide support to librarians, encouragement, and even through some of the national partnerships we're hoping to form, resources that can flow through to those participating libraries.
I think that's great. And I have to ask the question. I work a lot, you probably know this, with AASL, the American Association of School Librarians. Okay, who have the same basic concerns, but are school librarians as opposed to community librarians. Okay, are you working with them at all? I'm just curious.
We have connected, yeah. We have connected with them, and we're really wanting to engage librarians that are school librarians, public librarians, and also even post-secondary community college higher ed librarians. What makes our – and they've got an association of small and rural libraries that we've been connecting with, and they've been supporting and promoting our network. And I think what makes this network a little different, it's really focused on how libraries in rural places can accelerate educational outcomes.
I think
cradle
to wonderful.
Career, right?
I think
that,
that's why I'm
we
thinking,
know,
yeah, working with the school yeah. librarians is a wonderful idea. We're all on the same wavelength to get to the same point. You know, when you said about the things that, and Leslie, feel free to comment, but when you said about the things librarian needs, I thought the first thing you were going to say was money, okay? That we really need community support tax-wise for librarians. And what are you hearing about that? Okay, is there enough money? I know you guys have some money from the grant, but are the librarians, can we get sustain this? And I'll ask Leslie on that. You can again pass it to Dreema.
No, I think that's a good point. As Dreema mentioned, it's about connection, right? Connecting to resources, to best practices, and also to funding, and making sure that we are able to sustain this work. And so, no, I don't think, as Dreema mentioned, libraries are under-resourced. They're well-positioned,
yeah, they really
they're
are.
Creative, they're resourceful, but they are under-resourced. And so I think that is a big thing that we want to continue to advocate for and drive additional resources and funding to our rural communities and to our libraries in particular. I will also say I think the funding question also leads to the importance of partnership. I think now more than ever, we're recognizing the need to reimagine our work, that we can't do it alone, whether it's nationally across organizations or locally within communities. We know schools can't do it alone. One single organization or entity, one library can't do it alone. But coming together, pooling resources, pooling funds,
that's great.
Getting other local leaders on board is going to really help to support those positive outcomes for kids.
And Les, your goal at this stage, I think, is to make sure the kids are reading at the right level by third grade, which you said is the first real measure, all right? And that goes back, and you guys mentioned, talked about preschool and all that sort of thing, all right? Do you find that and we have this little problem here in my town, the school library and the town library kind of work not at odds with each other. That would be the wrong way to put it, but they don't work in tandem either, okay, as well as they should. To me, they should, and we try to do better on that, okay? And I'm curious, are you finding that they're working well with the school districts? I don't even know if you guys have the answer to that question, but if the goal is to make sure that the kids are reading at the right level, which is so important at the end of third grade, where are we in terms of working with schools, if I may? And I'll throw that one to either Dreema. I'll throw that to Leslie, and you can do what you want with that one.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. We all know the importance of third grade reading. It's a key milestone in a child's life.
You know,
the research is super clear. It's a marker for educational success, high school graduation, college attainment, earnings in adult life, and just so on and so forth, right?
Go right down the list, absolutely.
Right. It keeps on going. So we know that we have to start early. We have to invest early. We have to partner with others and support children long-term across that cradle to career continuum. I think your question around schools connecting with local libraries, we oftentimes talk about a lot of challenges that rural communities face, but I actually think that kind of the relationships, the close-knit ties that we see in rural places are a really unique asset. We see really strong collaboration between local libraries, schools, and even other entities, right? Other sectors, whether it be the local health department, the Chamber of Commerce, local pediatricians, churches. That's really what we're trying to support our communities to achieve, that collective movement to support children's outcomes. And we're seeing some really creative stuff, I have to say, and I look forward to kind of all the things that we're going to see throughout this work. But folks coming together for literacy-focused festivals and events, and I'll use that term loosely with COVID, but really to, you know, raise awareness of the importance of literacy or provide ongoing kindergarten readiness groups for parents and children to engage in learning together, or serving as a developmental screening location or providing access to books for families that might not have books in their home. Even hosting workshops for families about room, brain building science, and the role that parents play as their child's first teacher. So the list kind of goes on and on about the possibilities that can be tackled when folks work together across the community. And like we said, libraries are really well positioned.
They have to foster those
connections across the community with other leaders.
They're perfect. And although everybody knows them, if you ask anyone the importance of a library, they will say it's very important, but sometimes the usage of it is not as strong as it should be. Okay, and I can't understand. There's a juxtaposition in people's thought. There's nobody who would deny the value of a library. I don't think there is. Okay, but yet the usage sometimes is a little bit lower than what we would want it to be. Okay, like you hate not to have one. It's that kind of thing. All right, and I'm curious. Have you found that as you're building this, the usage of the libraries, and what are your folks telling you? Is that going up? How are we? And this is a question on so many things, so many great ideas face. How are you marketing this idea? Okay, not only to the librarians, but how are the librarians getting more people involved? Okay, in their own towns. Okay, it's really a key thing. You got to take these things to market. It's one of the things of the road to good intentions.
I think you have it there, right? And I think that it is what we hear from the librarians that helped us through this planning process, and what we've heard from some of our other partners, is that a piece of this is really working with the librarians and those who work with the libraries to start thinking about what is the essential services this time, this day, what's happening in the world that are necessary to improve the outcomes for kids and families, right?
Yep.
So what is needed today for third grade reading support is different than it was 50 years ago in a community.
That's right.
And we're working, and one of our thought partners on this is the Third Grade Reading Campaign that has done collective impact work in communities for years. You know, Ralph Smith started that work. He's doing that work. They haven't worked very much in rural places. They've worked in cities primarily and larger communities. And really the idea is if you go into a place and that whole community, the Chamber of Commerce, the mayor, everyone makes a commitment to third grade reading, and they publicly say, hey, we're going to improve this in our community, then they all develop a plan of what's necessary and what's relevant. And some of the things that we see from the places that have been successful with this is that the look of the library changes. You know, libraries start having play areas for kids. They start having loud things happening in the library at specific times, right?
Yep.
You know, it looks different. It's very relevant. They start listening to the people who live in the community, not just the people who are funding the library. They start listening to everyone, and they start shifting and changing what the library does. They shift and change. You know, feeding programs start happening. The school feeding programs happen at the library. And so those kind of things and that relevance, and it's that community planning from the mayor to the health and wellness people to the business folks, all working together with the library. And one of the folks we've worked a lot with on this in thinking is Sheila Umberger in Roanoke, Virginia, and I think that's one of the best examples of how a library has really stepped up and become that hub of third grade reading in a community. And so I think there's ways to do it, but you have some of it is shaking some of those preconceived notions of what a library is.
That's
and really
thought.
Working with all of these other partners to revision it. And it's not always comfortable, right? Because you may go into the library to read your book quietly and there's now some kids playing or there's food being served in the community room. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, we also, I mean, I know from my own experience and, you know, sometimes folks don't like that change. And so part of it is really working with communities to weather that change of who a library is for and what the purpose of a library is.
I like that. It's really cool. But wait, I just want to ask one question. You brought it up, and I'll bring it back on in just a second. Was the last book? You mentioned the librarian from Roanoke, Virginia. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I just want to get this clear in my head. We're talking about Rural Library Network, and Roanoke. Does it help me out here?
It's
doesn't
not
strike
rural.
Me as
it's
a
not
rural,
rural
community.
But it doesn't
that's
mean,
just,
yeah. But we can learn a lot from non-rural places, and we can then take it and back to
I
rural
see.
Folks,
thank
like
you.
These rural libraries we're doing, and say, okay, what would this look like in your place? And so, yes, what they've done there is, you know, it's not a rural place, but we can learn from it. And I think one of the things that we challenge people in rural places to do is to not put up that barrier and say, I can't learn
thank
from
you.
Right? Yeah. But I also try to do that with folks in urban places because they can learn a heck of a lot from Leslie and I on what we're doing that would impact
would
their urban places. Right?
I would agree.
So
and
I think
now
we
I see
also
why you brought
have
that
to
up.
Dispel
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and now I see why you brought that up. She's a great example of positioning the library as a community center, okay, and an educational resource, okay, and then use that and place that into rural communities, and we'll see what happens. Leslie, what were you going to say? I apologize for interrupting. I just wanted to clear that up.
No, I think that's actually building on what I was going to say. I think the Dreamer's point around transforming the physical space, the identity of libraries, their role. I mean, libraries are already doing great work. And so one of the pieces of the network is really celebrating the work that they're doing and sharing best practices. But then also we're seeing, even from the summit that was held this past December, there was quite a buzz around learning new practices. What is new? What is different? What additional work can we take on to support our communities? There was kind of this eagerness for learning and doing things differently, which was really exciting to see.
It's just so it's so amazing. You guys are on such a right track here, all right, because we just have to keep making sure. And I am very concerned. You know, you mentioned it with Ralph Smith. They start in the urban areas, and yes, this is needed there, okay? But too often we forget the rural communities. And a great proportion of America, is rural, all right? And we have to keep remembering that, all right? And we got to bring the services that we know work to the rural communities. I think what you guys are doing is just incredible. I must ask a question. And, Dream, I don't know if you know this. You got the grant from the Institute, if I got this right, the Institute of the Museum of Library Services. Am I correct?
That's right, yeah.
I have to ask a silly question. Is there really a Museum of Library Services?
There is.
What's in there?
No, there's not a real museum, Larry. Come on. But it's the group that supports all the museums and libraries.
Oh, I get it. So the Institute of Museum and Library Services or of Library
Services? Yeah, it's the federal agency that does technical assistance, support, and funding for libraries and museums across the nation. So it's federal dollars.
I was trying to figure out what kind of museum that would be. Okay, I was taking that very literally, and I did.
I got you.
Yeah, but I just couldn't. I said, where does this come from? What is this thing? It's just amazing. I think what you guys are doing is great. How does – I'm going to ask this two ways. How does a rural library get in touch with you, okay, so they can join your network, et cetera, okay? And second part, because we have a lot of school librarians listening and teachers listening, okay, how do they encourage their librarian – to get in touch with you, particularly in a rural area? What's the connection? Put that together, Dreema.
Oh, Lord, you always ask me this question, and I never can remember our website domain name. So I'll let Leslie talk about how they can find out more about what the Save the Children piece is while I find this. We have a website set up for the library piece, but we haven't. It's part of our website right now, and I'll have to find that. But Leslie, how could they find out more about the Save the Children opportunities? Or maybe you even
find
have
out the website
one
while Leslie's talking. Find out the website.
I will.
Yeah, go research.
Yeah,
Les?
I would say too. I mean, you're welcome to hop on the Save the Children website. Pretty simple, savethechildren.org. But then also, as Dreema mentioned, there is a specific website for the library network that's launched off of Partners for Education. Another easy way is through Twitter. I believe Partners for Education has tweeted quite a few opportunities for registering for the network. So that's another way for easily accessible information to sign up.
And our Twitter is at Berea Partners. At Berea Partners. So I'm glad we're doing this show because I want educators who are members of communities, I might add, to be involved in this and start working towards this along with their town librarian. Okay, and also they get their school librarian involved. So it's at Berea Partners. Dreema, have you figured out the website yet?
Oh, don't put me under pressure here.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
All right, would you do me a favor? We're going to end the show, but I want you to do me a favor, and I'll add this, okay, to the description of the show as people listen. Will you send me that website?
I sure will.
Do you want to wait?
I found it, Larry. www.berea.edu/PFE, Partners for Education, PFE.
And that'll have all the library stuff.
It'll have all the library stuff, and all the stuff is free. They register online. We'll do monthly webinars, and we'll have a summit at the end of the year, and there'll be resources available for librarians.
And I hope your summit will be in person at the end of this crazy year, huh?
Yeah, we do.
I know. Berea.edu/PFE, right? Partners for
Education.
That's
right. Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. That's great. Okay, I want people to know that. You guys are terrific. You're both going to heaven. Okay, that's all I can tell you. All right, it's that simple. All right, mention my name. Send me a postcard. Okay.
We sure will. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Dreema, take care. Leslie, it's nice to meet you. Have a nice day. Stay safe, both of you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Bye-bye. Dreema Gentry, our old friend from Berea College. And again, everybody, Berea, B-E-R-E-A, Berea. .edu/PFE, which is their Partners for Education. Okay, and they tweet over Berea Partners. Okay, and that's an amazing school. You should learn more about that. Okay, Berea.edu. Okay, so Leslie, thank you. Dreema, thank you. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, which is the home of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, of which we are a part. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs.